Nations gather for war with Israel. Prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. Turkey, Yemen, and the prophetic convergence has begun. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there joining us all the way from New York City.
Hi.
David, I heard you went to the State Fair up there in New York.
I did. Saw these weird chickens with these big fluffy feather heads.
You know,
it was cool.
You sent me that picture, and
I
actually grew up, every summer we would go to the farm. Our family used to own this farm out in, probably about 200 miles from where I am now. And so I grew up around, you know, going out and gathering eggs from chickens, grew up around cows and bulls and horses and all that stuff. And I have never seen in my life, I wish I'd have saved it. I have never in my life seen an uglier chicken than what you sent me. I actually asked you, what is that? You know, cause, it did not look like a chicken. Trust me,
it looked like a bad hair day on a
chicken.
It
looked like somebody electrocuted a like a peacock or something. You know, I mean, it was the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
That was cool. We saw a cow being born. They put a chain on his foot.
Yeah, your wife was saying that she saw the calf. I've seen that before. And as I was telling her, I've seen it several times, and it still is something that is a sight to see. It's remarkable, and you know, it's another one of God's creations. That you're watching unfold right in front of your eyes,
yeah.
And it never gets old.
I got to ask my mother if she put a chain on my feet to pull me out.
Yeah, now, I don't think I ever saw one born the way that your wife described it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was all just like a boom all of a sudden.
Yeah, apparently
the thing
was upside down, so they kind of reached in and turned it right side up. And
yeah.
Then, it's like, better you doing that than me.
Well, you saw something very unusual, you know, so you were really lucky to see that. Because like I said, I've seen it, you know, but I've never seen one like that. So that was unique. Anyway, David, go ahead and pray us into this this edition of the show, and then I'll let everybody know what we're going to talk about today.
Well, that's going to be fun. All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the time that we get to serve you. We thank you for this venue where we can share your word. We thank you for wisdom so we can share the correct word. And we give you all the praise and glory. And we ask that these would be seeds to harvest into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right. As I said, I want to show everybody what we're going to talk about today. And we do have a good show lined up for you. Turkey turns. Prophecy is aligning with history.
And that reminds me of the deep fried turkey legs that they had. They would turn them over in the sink.
Here you go. Well, this is a little bit of a different turkey here.
It's different. Okay.
Yeah. We are also going to be talking about Israel's strike on Yemen. This was very recent in the Red Sea arena, and it's going to bring up Psalm 83. Damascus and the Northern Front. We'll be talking more into Psalm 83 once again, but also into Isaiah 17. And then we'll finish things up with the Gog and Magog storm, the global convergence and prophetic urgency that it brings to us. So let me go ahead here and start things off with this one right here. Get us going.
Ooh.
What we're watching unfold in the Middle East right now is nothing short of earth-shaking. For decades, Turkey presented itself as a unique bridge between East and West, between Islam and the secular world, between NATO and the Middle East. Many analysts thought that Turkey could always be counted on as a restraining influence, a stabilizer, but that illusion has been shattered. This week, Turkey made the decisive step of openly disassociating itself from Israel. This is not just another diplomatic quarrel, it's prophetic. If you look at Ezekiel 38, 5 and 6, it lists the coalition that will come against Israel in the last days. We're talking about Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. Now, this comes actually from Scripture, so I'll read it here. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are all with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you. Moving on here, most Bible scholars have long associated Gomer and Beth Togarmah with the ancient peoples who lived in the land that is modern-day Turkey. For years, people wondered how could a NATO member, a Western ally, ever turn against Israel. Now we know, and we're watching it happen. Turkey, under President Erdogan, has been steadily moving toward Islamist government and away from its old secular constitution. Step by step, it has distanced itself from Jerusalem, aligned itself with Tehran, Tehran, I should say, and Moscow, and used its strategic geography to play kingmaker in conflicts across Syria, Libya, and Caracas and beyond. Now Turkey has crossed a new threshold by formally disassociating from Israel. Turkey has planted its feet squarely on the prophetic path toward the Gog-Magog alignment. Think about what this means. Ezekiel 38 describes a coalition led by Gog of the land of Magog, commonly understood as Russia, joined by Persia, which is Iran, Kush, which is Sudan, Put, Libya, and the peoples of Anatolia. That's Turkey. Now, this coalition invades Israel in the latter days to plunder its wealth. We are now vaguely reading current events. We are seeing this exact coalition form in real time. I'm going to keep going here, David. Show the next slide here. So why is this important? Because for the first time in history, Israel is wealthy and rich in resources. With its natural gas discoveries in the Mediterranean, technology leadership, and military dominance, Israel now possesses exactly the kind of spoils that Ezekiel 38:12 describes. And quoting it, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Now, Turkey sees this. Russia sees it. Iran sees it. And they are positioning themselves to seize it. So what are the strategic consequences? When Turkey pulls back from cooperation with Israel, the impact is massive. Turkish airspace lies across Israel's northern approach routes. Turkish naval assets in the Mediterranean can threaten Israel energy fields and offshore infrastructure. And Turkish drone technology, the Bayraktar series that has already been exported across multiple conflict zones, could easily be supplied to Israel's enemies. And perhaps most dangerous of all, Turkey's political cover within the Muslim world empowers Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran's proxies with a major state's endorsement. This is exactly what Psalm 83 foresaw, a confederacy of nations encircling Israel, conspiring to wipe it from the map. Psalm 83:4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Turkey's turn is not an isolated diplomatic disagreement. It's one more brick in the wall of the Psalm 83 confederacy and one more move toward the Ezekiel 38 invasion force. Clearly, all of us are watching prophecy leap off the page. For generations, Christians read Ezekiel and wondered when will Persia would openly turn against Israel. That answer came in 1979 with the Islamic Revolution in Iran. People also wondered when Turkey would break from Israel and side with its enemies. And that answer we are seeing unfold right now. So please remember, when nations align against Israel, they are not simply making policy choices. They are fulfilling the ancient words of Scripture. They are setting the stage for God Himself to intervene, because Ezekiel 38 and 39 does not end with Israel's destruction. It ends with God's glory revealed to all nations. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now that comes from Ezekiel 38, verse number 23. So as Turkey hardens its stance against Jerusalem, it is unwittingly marching into the very role God's word said it would play 2,600 years ago. So looking forward, watch for Turkey to expand its rhetoric beyond disassociation into direct threats. Watch for new military exercises in the Mediterranean designed to intimidate Israel. Watch for increasing diplomatic visits between Ankara and Tehran and Moscow, cementing alliances that the Bible has already written into the script of history. This is no longer the Turkey of NATO alliances. This is the Turkey of Ezekiel 38, and that means that the Gog-Magog storm war is near. All right, now there's a whole lot that I went over there, David, but I know you've got a lot to add to it, so I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Well, we'll start right there. The the Turkey of NATO alliances. This is the old Anatoly, mm-hmm. And since that's the case, let me ask you a question. If we're getting off on an exit on the highway, do you put the sign at the exit or do you put it before the exit?
Definitely before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with the rapture. The rapture will happen before all of these things. And so that's what we're looking for. You know, we're on high alert right now. I've never seen so many people that are not necessarily rapture washers mm-hmm. all of a sudden having dreams and saying something's about to happen. So it's pretty exciting. We're on high watch. It's going to be good. But this, you know, in Ezekiel 38:23, you mentioned, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, that they will know that I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's English. Now, in the Hebrew, it gives a much bigger picture, a much bigger impression. It says, I am Yahweh. You know, or Yahweh, as we say. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He is the Most High God. He is the one that has a superior thing, superior position above all the others. He's mm-hmm. the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords.
Right.
And every knee shall bow to him. And that's what he's saying. He says all these nations. You say, oh, the nations and he's the Lord. Okay, great. What does that mean? Well, it's literally talking about the prince of principalities and powers that we wrestle against, mm-hmm. okay? And each one of them, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, blah, 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 and the prince of, you know, Grufunkistan, all of them say God is the higher one. He is the one that's above all of those, and that's what he's saying here. Okay, we're going to get all these guys to fight, and at the end of this, he's going to say, okay, remember the Armageddon War? They're all going to fight, and he's like, gather them all together. He's going to defeat them all at once with one word out of his mouth, mm-hmm. that double-edged sword. And then they will know that this is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, and the All-Powerful One. Amen. So it's a whole lot more than the English says in here, and that's super powerful. People wonder, why are you so excited? All this, you know, chaos and mayhem is coming on the earth. I said, because I read the end, and that's when it gets extra chaosy and mayhem-y, that's mm-hmm. when Jesus comes back, and he's going to rule and reign in righteousness. That's what we're excited about.
Amen. Well, you know, we were talking before the show started about DEFCON 1. You know, everybody's always talking about that. And you came up with a really good one for the rapture that we're going to get into in a future show. You want to unveil mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the DEFCON is the defense readiness condition of the military. Mm-hmm. So it starts at 5, and DEFCON 5, everything's normal, don't worry about nothing, go back to bed. All right, then it goes up to 4, you know, hey, just you know, keep an eye open. Then it's a 3, you know, watch a little bit. Then mm-hmm. it's the 2, and it's like, hey, you know, get your clothes on. Mm-hmm. There might be a fight soon. DEFCON 1 is, hey, the enemy's coming in,
right?
And here we are. And mm-hmm. I think instead of DEFCON, the defense, you know, we're actually at RaptureCon, so we're going to call it RapCon 1.
RapCon, yeah, I like that.
we are at RapCon 1. I've never seen so many people just talking about the rapture in this coming month. I'm like, that's going to be really weird if we hit October. It's like,
yeah, I mean, you were talking about, you mentioned that there's lots of people right now that are saying, you know, September 2025. We have never, and we're still not going to set a date. Okay, we've never done it, never will. The Bible is clear that only the Father knows the day and the hour that this is going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we are not supposed to be looking for it. As a matter of fact, we are instructed to be looking for it. So
that's
what we're doing. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's basically we're on high alert. You know, we are ready to go. We're on high alert, and he comes when he comes, but we're ready when he does.
Right. And a lot of our friends, and some of them are fairly well-known individuals, are really looking at September. You know, well, okay, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I hope they're right, you know, in fairness, they're not setting dates either. It's just that like David was saying, there's a lot of people having these dreams all of a sudden, you know, and these dreams are also being presented to people all over the world. It's not just, you know, people that are in Bible.
I want to give an example too, and this is just one of many of pretty much the same story, just put different characters in it. But I got a friend of mine, and been friends 15 years now, and his wife is just a demure little girl who just loves the Lord and goes to church and wants to be nice to people. And that's it. Never prophecy, never worried about this stuff. Every time you get into all these cool, deep things, she's like, yeah, whatever. All of a sudden, she has a rapture dream. She said, oh my God, he's coming like soon.
Now.
Like real quick.
Real quick.
And then like descriptive and everything.
Yeah.
And I've heard this same story over and over and over and over and over. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've been watching... you know, every now and then I look at YouTube or whatever, and I see these people that are having these dreams all over the world. Many of them were not believers, and you know, it's really incredible. It really is to see all that.
Yeah, people that have no idea what this rapture thing is, you know, that Darby made up, right?
They're seeing it. They're seeing it happen, David.
And they're like, especially like in Iran. Because they were like good friends with Israel. Persia was good friends with Israel for back and forth for a long time. And the Lord clearly says, you know, they're going to be, you know, blessed in the end, as well as all the Arabs, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the governments.
There will be a huge harvest from all those nations.
It is the governments. It's not the people that are anti-Israel. You know, I think that's
important. So all the Iranians are having these dreams, and the Lord's coming to them. Even though the government won't let them even talk about Christianity or even have a Bible, and they're killing people, and they're like, "Well, Jesus came to me in a dream." So, even there's one prince in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you saw this. He actually said it. He says, "Well, I'm going to tell people I'm a Christian. If they decide to kill me, then I'll be in his presence for all eternity."
Yeah,
the next
I did
second,
see that.
So that's fine.
I did see that. I'm going to have to get that guy's name and put it on there. I got a couple of announcements for you guys real quick. First of all, please do remember that at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. So whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference, and it's all fully tax-deductible. You can also support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net, because when you buy, they give and we grow. We have Everyday Dose Coffee, where you start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. The Conservative Store, where you can wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And Christian Book, from Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to shop, to donate to us, or to shop with a purpose. Together, we're reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. And speaking of messages, I need to tell you guys, in case you hadn't figured it out from tonight's show, we have moved to 8 p.m. Central Time, with 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is our new time now, from now on. And we're also on every night of the week. Now, that doesn't mean you get a new show every night. But what you got is, for instance, tonight's Tuesday show will air again on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we'll have the new one. But anyway, we're on 7 days a week. And then David and Nestor also have a show, Shadows. Let me get this right, David. Shadows.
Of a greater reality.
And now that show has moved to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Time. And again, 7 days a week, And you'll get a new show on that one. You will get a new show each and every night. There's some massive changes. It's all a part of Revelation Radio's new schedule. So you can go to revelationradio.net, and there you will find the new schedule. It is posted, and I think that you guys are going to really like it. And David, you have a new sponsor for us, or a new affiliate that you want to tell them about. I still don't have a lot of information on it yet. I'm going to give it to you.
Well, here's the basics. It's the Israeli Institute for Biblical Studies, and they study the word from the Hebrew perspective, because that's how it was written. Mm-hmm. Even the New Testament was written by Hebrews. Mm-hmm. So they actually delve into that, and they're really, really good, and it's very, very detailed. So I've been taking several courses over there, and then I said, hey, can we offer this to our people? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So you can look for the link on lastchristian.net. You'll see the link, and there's a number of different types of classes. I took because I'm a prophecy guy, one of the first ones I took was Revelation from the Hebrew point of view. I was like, wow, it's really interesting, because that's there's cool. 800, more than 800 allusions to the Old Testament in Revelation. So you got to understand what the Old Testament meant by it, and not just say, oh, well, okay, we're Christians now and forget it. No, John was a Jew. Okay, so they knew what all of these things. What is this thing about, you know, the Revelation 12 with the with the Matzaroth? They got Virgo, you know, and then Jupiter comes into Virgo, and then the dragon sweet. It's all written in the stars, and John knew that, but you got to find where that was all written before.
Yeah.
So it's really powerful to just get a unique perspective from the Hebrew vantage point. You got to go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all check that out. Again, that will be the link will be listed there on lastchristian.net. Now, David, I'm going to get into this one real quick, because this is really new. Israel did have a strike on Yemen. Now, what they have done is this weekend, Israel shocked the world really with a daring strike that eliminated much of Yemen's hostile leadership in one blow. The reports do indicate that this was a precision attack that decapitated the command structure of the Iran-backed movement in Yemen, and the significance cannot be overstated. Yemen is not just a local civil war. Yemen sits at the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, one of the most vital maritime choke points in the world. So through that narrow stretch flows a massive percentage of the world's oil trade. So whoever controls Yemen can threaten global shipping lanes from Asia to Europe. Now, I'm not going to put up a whole lot of stuff there. I've got a bunch on it, but I think it's better for us to just talk about it. And basically what they did is they took them out from the prime minister on down. I mean, they eliminated the leadership there in Yemen, and they're kind of in disarray right now. And that doesn't mean that they're decapitated. You know, they've still got missiles, they've still got drones, they've still got all that stuff, and they've still got people to use them. But they're hurt. they took a massive hurt. Do you know much about this, David, or have you followed it at all?
No, I really don't. Okay. You know, I've been taking a couple of days off.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Western wee waxation, so I kind of missed all of it. happens when you take a day off? You miss the entire world history.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of falls into Psalm 83 well here. So, you know, for Israel, the stakes are even higher. Now, Iran has used Yemen's territory as a launch pad for missiles, drones, and naval swarms. Now, this is all, you know, they've been hitting in the Red Sea primarily. So by striking directly at Yemen's leadership, Israel is sending a crystal clear message. Your safe havens are not safe. We can reach you anywhere. So Israel meant the strike to serve as a deterrence. It's also prophecy. If you look at Psalm 83, it names a confederacy of nations that surround Israel with one goal. Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Again, that's Psalm 83, verse 4. So among those listed are here we go with the ites, right? The Ishmaelites, the Hagarites, the Amalek, the Philistine, the Tyre, the Assyria, a coalition of peoples that geographically surround Israel. So while Yemen itself is not named, The spirit of Psalm 83 is clear, that from every side, Israel is encircled by enemies, and the southern spear of that encirclement is at Yemen. So that's pretty significant, wouldn't you say, that the south
Well, Yemen was actually the home of the kingdom of Sheba. Remember the queen of Sheba?
Yes.
Who visited Solomon?
Okay.
She kind of lived over there a little bit. So we think they're Ethiopians, but that was kind of all attached and different cut-ups at the time.
Okay.
And the Sabaeans were descended from Sheba, son of Joktan, in the line of Eber. So they're actually Semites. And
Go ahead.
So you got that. So some of the Joktan was apparently, according to tradition, is the one who took the ark. Back, and he's the one that's got it hiding over in Ethiopia.
There we go. There's some major significance with that one, for sure. So before we run out of time here in the first half, I wanted to put this one up real quick, just to where we get a kind of idea here. I'm just going to go to the so we're looking forward part. Watch for Iranian rhetoric vowing revenge on all these strikes.
Also, they're going to say they won already.
Yeah. Then also watch for new maritime incidents in the Red Sea. They've already struck a number of ships. They've even struck U.S. ships at one time, which President Trump retaliated against them pretty heavily. He didn't take out all their leadership like Israel did, but he hit them pretty hard. There's the Sheba and Dedan that you were talking about, David. You need to watch for the Sheba and Dedan nations, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, to issue statements that seem to distance themselves while in reality preparing for their prophetic roles. Now, Israel struck boldly, so Yemen was hit hard, but prophecy is moving forward. So why don't you go ahead and make your comments on that and take us out of the first half at the same time there, Mr. Paxton.
Yeah, I mean, they're all basically part of the Arabian peoples and the Ishmaelites, and they kind of mix together, which is exactly what the word Arab means, mixed. So they all fit into that same genre, if you would. So in the meantime, Jesus is coming back, folks. We're at Rapcon 1.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So I would suggest, instead of burning in hell for all eternity, which is not a pleasant thought.
Nope.
Knowing that you could have gotten out of it is even a worse thought once you're there. So you don't want to do that. So Jesus paid for your sins so you don't have to go, and you can hang out with him for all eternity, which I think is a better option. And all you have to do is receive the contract that he is offering you. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye-bye.
Is your spiritual race feeling solitary or slow? Run with Horses invites you to pick up the pace. Each day at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Revelation Radio brings you Run with Horses, a powerful show brought to you by Norman and Susan Smith, designed to help followers of Jesus grow deeper, aim higher, and live on mission. Draw strength from biblical discipleship, develop healthy marriages, and build godly families, all through conversations that are intentional, spirit-led, and deeply influential. If you long to be an intentional disciple-maker, someone who leads others, lives humbly, and models God's word, this show is for you. Run with Horses equips you to see life through the lens of Scripture, embrace God's refining process, and grow as His warrior. Don't just listen, run. Join Norman and Susan on Run with Horses daily at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio.
Join us every evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Settle in for wisdom, encouragement, and cultural insight. It's time for Conversations with Dawn Karima, your daily dose of inspiration, featuring powerful voices and uplifting stories from across Indian country and beyond. Hosted by Dawn Karima, award-winning author, filmmaker, recording artist, and former Miss Native American Worldwide, this daily broadcast brings you meaningful interviews, spiritual encouragement, and rich storytelling that celebrates heritage, healing, and hope. Whether you're listening for cultural connection, creative inspiration, or just a moment to breathe, Dawn Karima delivers a heart-centered conversation you'll want to return to every single day. Don't miss it. Daily at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, here on Revelation Radio. Conversations with Dawn Karima, where every voice matters.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. David, we'll go ahead and kick right back into this because we're going to get in now into Damascus a little bit. This is Damascus in the Northern Front. So we're going to talk about Isaiah 17 as well as the Psalm 83 Confederacy. So you see a subject. Now, we've addressed this previously. But it's coming more into focus now. This is perhaps the most explosive front of all. You've got Syria, Lebanon, and the northern borders of Israel. And in Isaiah 17:1, which we have talked about, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and it will be a ruinous heap. Now, this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled in history. Damascus is arguably the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. Empires have risen and fallen. Yet Damascus remains. But Isaiah declares a day is coming when Damascus will cease to be a city. Not diminished, not weakened, but a complete ruinous heap. Now, as we look at Syria today, we can see that the groundwork is being laid. Damascus is no longer a stable capital, but a hub for Iranian weapons, Hezbollah coordination, and Russian involvement. Israel strikes Damascus repeatedly to stop precision-guided missile shipments. And every time an airfield or warehouse goes up in flames, Damascus edges a little bit closer to Isaiah's prophecy. Meanwhile, to the north, Hezbollah boasts over 100,000 rockets aimed at Israel. Precision-guided missiles, drones, and anti-tank weapons are staged just across the border. Then you have Lebanese villages are being turned into launch pads. This is not theory, but it's a daily preparation for war. Now, again, Psalm 83 coming into focus here. You've got Tyre, which is Lebanon, Assyria, which, of course, is Syria and northern Iraq, Philistia is Gaza. Then you've got Edom and Moab. That's the Jordanian territories. All of that working to encircle Israel as a prophetic coalition is formed. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. Now, that comes directly from Psalm 83, verse number 3. Moving on here, you see that the nations that are opposing the Jewish state are working in coordination, forming supply lines, funding, training, all aimed at one target, Israel. Consider what one large-scale barrage could do. Now, think about this for a minute. If Hezbollah launched thousands of rockets in a single day, Israel's missile defense would be stretched to its limits. Civilian populations would face devastation. Infrastructure would be crippled. Israel could be immediately drawn into a two-front or even three-front war. That's north from Hezbollah, south from Gaza and Yemen, and east from Syria. But Scripture is also clear that even if all these nations encircle Israel, they will not prevail. If you look at Zechariah 12, verse 9, it says, "It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." So let me see here. I've got one more. Now, this is God's prophetic promise. Not that Israel will avoid war, and not that things will be easy for Israel in the days ahead. What God says is that in the end, those who rise against Jerusalem will themselves be destroyed. For the days ahead, we should look at these things. Number one, watch the north with more Israeli strikes around Damascus. Look for possible Hezbollah provocations along the border with Israel and expect increased rhetoric linking Turkish moves with northern threats attempting to give political cover to Iran's proxies. The Psalm 83 Confederacy is alive and Damascus will become a ruinous heap. Fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 17. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, in reading that earlier, you heard me say that we're already, Israel's already striking Damascus on several occasions. I'm not talking dead in the middle of it, but all around it. And if there's a nuclear weapon in there, David, or a...
Yeah, it's a tinderbox for sure.
Yeah, or, you know, one of those chemical things that, you know... you can't possibly survive, or both, and they happen to hit one of those, or they mishandle it.
Remember what happened with that one?
I'm sorry?
Remember the fertilizer plant?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, they got all that stuff that's already. And it's just, it's striking to me how, you know, it, all these other nations, you know, we see Edom and it's probably southern Jordan. We see the Ishmaelites and they're the Arab peoples. And we see Moab is central Jordan. And then we see Gebel is Lebanon. And but what one city still has the same name?
Yeah,
Damascus. Yeah. All right, and it's there for a reason, because he said Damascus will become a ruinous heap, and he's like, all right, we better keep the name just so people aren't confused about what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, that the name has never changed. Because I know of a lot that have over the years.
Yeah, pretty much all of them have changed over time, but Damascus is still the same city, and the longest running inhabited one. You know, all the other ones were kind of messed up for a little bit.
Yeah. People say that Damascus has been destroyed before, but it has.
No, not according to this prophecy.
I can't remember the name of the group that went in there and did a lot of damage to it. And, you know, they did destroy Damascus, like maybe 90% of it. But they didn't make it a ruinous heap, and they didn't make it a ruinous heap overnight, for sure. So, you know,
and people are living there again. And it says, and it won't be inhabited anymore.
There's millions of people that live in Damascus. You know, I can't remember the exact number, but there are millions of people that live in Damascus. And, you know, to think that overnight the thing goes and becomes a ruinous heap, that's a, you know... When that happens, I don't know how how any news network is going to be able to spin that as anything other than prophecy being fulfilled. Because I guarantee you every minister is going to bring it up if we're still here. Now, there's a possibility we won't be, because there's no time frame on that, right?
I mean, you do have this. So follow me in this scenario. Lot is a picture of the rapture. Okay. And, you know, he's like lollygagging around, for those who know what lollygagging means. And he's like, the angels are like, dude, we can't destroy this place until you're out. Don't you get it? So they literally grabbed him and yanked him out as these meteorites were coming down and doing it. So I'm wondering if that scenario will play out here. And hey, you know what? The judgment is coming, and just before that judgment might be coming from the sky. It doesn't say how they'll be destroyed. It'll just be a ruinous heap overnight. So we surmise that nowadays is the only time we could do it with nuclear weapons. But I guess most of us have forgot about asteroids.
Did you know?
It might be an asteroid that just lands on the place, and he yanks us out because we're lollygagging. Who knows?
I have... You know, you know me. I follow a lot of groups on Telegram, and there was a group there, and I was actually laughing at it, David. I really was. And you know what you just said hit me like a ton of bricks. Okay, because this group posted a thing about an asteroid. I think it's an asteroid. I'll have to look it up. That is headed toward Earth right now. And I, you know, like I said, I laughed about it because, you know, we've heard of this stuff over and over again over the years, you know, all these near misses and all that. And I wasn't even, because it wasn't a Bible-related group, or maybe it was, I don't remember. But anyway, because of all the near misses and all that, I laughed it off as being, well, okay, you know, this is another one of them near miss things, big deal. You know, as a matter of fact, you know how you have those little, whatever you call those things that you put on there, the little icon things down the bottom?
Yep.
Okay, there's one that does this. He goes, that's what I posted.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever, you know. That was the only response I gave it. But now, having heard what you just said, that is an awesome possibility. I mean, that could really happen, that this thing could actually come down. And of course, it would have other You know, there'd be more devastation than just Damascus getting wiped out overnight. Right. There'd be a lot
but
more.
Maybe that's the center of it, you know, because he just wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. So why can't he just have maybe, you know what it is? So the name of that one is Apophis, actually.
Okay.
Or Apophis, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But then there's a couple of writers, like Tom Horn spoke extensively about Apophis, and it was coming by. Maybe hitting in 2029, something like that.
Okay.
So since then, they've recalculated as it's getting closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
So they I don't know if they're saying this on purpose, but they're saying, well, now we don't see a risk, but it will come within about 30,000 miles of the Earth, something like that. maybe 20 to 30, which is super close in space realm.
That's real close. And there could be a piece of that thing that flew off independently.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe Apophis won't actually hit Earth because they think it'll be far enough away to miss it. But then you got the tail. You know, you get all that crap in the tail. Right. One of them big old rocks comes down, lands right on there. Yeah. And that's what he talks about. You know, the tail that goes through heaven and a third of the angels were wiped out.
Wow.
So... You got the tail of these monsters coming by. Maybe that wipes out. Maybe that the tail of that thing is the third of the stars falling.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll find out soon enough. But Apophis could definitely be in that realm. Let's say.
Well, okay. I'm no longer like this. Now I'm like this. I will pray. I'm going to pray for the people of Damascus. More than anything, because they're the one.
Your doom is imminent. You better receive the Lord now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Not only are you going to be dead, but you want to make sure that where you are alive, that you're alive and you're not in eternal death. That would be awful. I'd hate to be in that situation. All right, let's look here at this one also, and this is the Gog Magog war itself, the global convergence and the prophetic urgency here. So we're looking at the global picture because the Middle East truly is the focus of all nations around the world. Today we see anti-Semitism exploding worldwide with protests and attacks and open hatred of Jews in cities almost everywhere. Free speech is under assault from many world leaders and the propaganda media falsely proclaiming biblical truth as hate, censoring it, silencing it, and even criminalizing it. Governments are working to consolidate control with digital currencies, digital IDs, surveillance and control of communication, all preparing for the world for a system where no one can buy or sell without compliance. And we see increasing calls for one world governance of climate, finance, health, and security, all packaged as pretext to argue for a central global control system. Revelation 13 describes a beast rising out of the sea, given authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation. It requires all to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead, and without it, no one can buy or sell. This is the trajectory of our world. Turkey breaking with Israel, Yemen's leadership struck down, Damascus bracing for ruin, and global leaders uniting under centralized government. Ezekiel 38 and 39 promises us a Gog-Magog war, or a storm, a massive coalition with its one single mission being the invasion and destruction of Israel. But it also promises that God himself will intervene. If you look at scripture from Ezekiel 39 verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and your troops, and the people who are with you." Looking ahead here, the Bible is crystal clear that God alone will preserve his people. The nations will rage, but the Lord will defend Zion. We are not waiting for some far-off time. The alliances Ezekiel named are coming together right now. The confederacy of Psalm 83, described, is also visible. The ruin Isaiah warned of for Damascus could literally happen at any time. And the global system that John foresaw in Revelation is assembling. But there's hope. Jesus Christ is the ark in our days, as Noah's ark was in his. If you look at Matthew 24, verse 37, it says, "Now as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The corruption, the violence, and the rebellion is all here. But just as Noah entered the ark and was saved, so too all who enter into Christ will be saved from the coming storm. Continue to watch the headlines and remember, this is not chaos. This is prophecy unfolding, and this is God's word proving to be true. Be ready, be steadfast, stand with Israel, stand on the word, and above all, be found in Christ, because the King is coming.
The King is coming.
So what do you got to say about all that, David?
Yeah, all right, so what comes before 13?
12.
Ah, so in Revelation 12 is where we see all of these great wonders in heaven, and the it says, and it was seen in the temple, the Ark of the Testament. There were lightnings, voices, thunderings, and an earthquake, and a great hail. And in verse chapter 12, because the chapters aren't in perfect condition here. I started a little early. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. This is all in chapter 12. Mm-hmm. So all this has to come before 13, when the implementation of the mark of the beast comes.
Yeah.
So for all you Christians who really are Christians, don't worry about the mark of the beast. It's not till halfway through. and after this whole story with Michael and his angels fighting with the devil and his angels, and Israel flying away and being, that's going to be really cool events. Those events are what's going to trigger the actual mark of the beast system.
Yeah.
Halfway through. And we're not going to be anywhere near that.
It doesn't happen at the moment of the rapture.
Right. It doesn't happen until halfway through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man. I don't want to even think about that. You know, I don't want to. If you see it coming, that means that you missed the rapture, right? I mean, if you see these things happening, then you know, you had better hit your knees, you know, and say, okay, I'm ready, Lord. I am a sinner.
Yep.
I'm ready. Go ahead, bring on. Let them bring on whatever they got. I will scream Christianity till my last breath on this earth. To be, you know, to be separated from the body is to be with you.
Well, the one last seed coming out. Bop.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, wait, one more thing to pull a Columbo. Hang on, Angel. Mm-hmm. One more thing. Throw out another one.
Well, David, before the show started, I told you that I had a big debate with a guy, and I couldn't remember what the subject was, and now I remember what the subject was, and that was about the third temple.
Okay? Ah, very nice. And, I think I argued with the same guy.
What he was saying is that there is no mention of a third temple in the Bible, and I said, if you don't see that, then you haven't read the Bible. You know, and I pulled up a whole bunch of scripture and threw it at him, you know, and he said, you know, I got no reason to look at that, you know.
Because that's not what he wants to believe.
Right, exactly. You know, and, you know, again, he would come back at me with some kind of silliness, you know, and I'd say, okay, well, I see what you're saying here, but here's what the Bible says about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kept going with him and I kept going with him and just went back and forth and back and forth for like maybe an hour or more. And then all of a sudden he just said, well, I got to go mow my yard. And that was it. It was over, you know.
Yeah, that's the same guy. He started on one of my threads too. Oh, it doesn't matter. And I was like, so I sent him, I think, like a dozen different scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Saying, I sent about six.
How about the guy... Here's the angel in Revelation measuring the temple.
Yeah.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sent him that same scripture. Yeah. I sent the same scripture. I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't want to hear it. He had his doctrine, and he was, it might have just been a bot, too. You never know.
You never know.
You got to find out. Sometimes if you tweak them, you're like, your mom smells of elderberries, and see what they say. And then they're like, if they don't answer that question, then you know they're bots.
Well, I had some people there, you know, there were other people than just the two of us that were trying to get into the conversation, and they were on my side. They weren't on his, but they weren't as, how can I say this? They weren't as nice as I was or as friendly as I was. They were using some language and things that I would choose not to use, you know, in public or private for that matter.
But I can't find them.
The thing was, David, you know, and I told him this, you know, you are not going to take me out of my faith. My faith is solid, and it's based on Scripture, and I can provide you with Scripture. And the beautiful thing is, David, you know me well enough now over the time that we've been together. I can't point to a book, a chapter, or a verse the way you can. You know, you got all these years on me, you know, and you've got Scripture down a heck of a lot better than I do. But one thing that I realized as I was having this debate with this guy, or this argument, I don't like calling it an argument, discussion. The Lord was giving me the Scripture.
Oh, nice.
You know,
that's what he said. Don't worry about what you're going to say.
Yeah. And I mean, it was amazing. I can honestly say this. This has never happened to me before, ever.
You've grown.
Every single thing he threw at me, the Lord gave me the Scripture to counter it. And every time, without a second, not even a second of having to think. It was just there. That's never happened to me before, ever. And I just, to me, that was so cool. And it was empowering.
It's much easier that way.
Man, isn't it? You know, when the Holy Spirit presents it to you, you know, here it is on a silver platter, you know, I've got to acknowledge that. I needed to tell people about that in this show, because it does happen. It never happened to me before, but it happened to me when I needed it to happen. That's the point.
Yeah. And we always need corroborating evidence, too. Like in Daniel 9:27, it says, in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Mm-hmm. So, but that's all temple talk. So it implies there must be a functioning temple at the time.
Exactly.
And if you go to like chapter 11, I think it's like 30, 31, it says forces must be mustered by him. Mm-hmm. I like mustard. and ketchup, and they shall defile the sanctuary's fortress, and then they shall take away the daily sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, there's the abomination of desolation that Jesus talks about.
Yeah.
And if there's daily sacrifices, where are they being held? They got to be in the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then Matt talks about that in 24:15. Then you'll see the abomination of desolation. That's Jesus talking about it there. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, it also in 2 Thessalonians.
Thessalonians.
These guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the
Thessalonians.
One.
Uh-huh. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, it says the man of sin will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God.
Yeah, I quoted him that
so there's corroborating evidence from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then, you know, even in Revelation, he's like, here, measure this. Mm-hmm. Measure what? It doesn't exist, remember? This guy said so. No, measure the temple and shut up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, there was another one also that was saying that the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. You know, who is supposed to?
I'm just walk away when they say that.
Yeah. Now, maybe I missed this one, because this one wasn't spoon fed to me the way that one was. But they're saying, well, who needs to obey the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, not the Old Testament, but the Old Covenant? Mm-hmm. And my answer was that the Jews are the ones that are supposed to follow the Old Testament or the Old Covenant from the Old Testament.
even as far if they as become, the laws go, yeah.
Yeah, even if they become a Christian, but that Christians are not required to follow the old covenant because they have the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Now, was that close on that? I didn't say it exactly there the way that I wrote it. I don't remember exactly how I wrote it, but that's kind of the theme of it.
Yeah, the idea was originally that the whole Torah was written and God called his people out and said, okay, do this to show how different you are.
Right.
But the Gentile nations, they weren't required to do all that.
Right.
Okay. And it probably to their betterment, because now if they're not required to do it, they're not as evil as someone who is required to do it and doesn't do it, because they're both not doing it. But it was specifically to show and to demonstrate to the rest of all the kingdoms and principalities, how man has fallen short. It was to demonstrate. So it was specifically for the Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, once you're born again, technically, you're called out of wherever you're at. If you're called out of being a Jew, you're called out of being a Gentile. Now you're a new creation.
New creature.
Mm-hmm. So it does, I mean, you're not required to keep the law anymore.
Okay.
However, it's probably a good thing to do it the best you can, because you're still being a witness and saying, hey, look, I could still do this, knowing full well that you're not going to keep that law.
Yeah.
But the Gentiles have no responsibility whatsoever to, do the pig thing.
Yeah, right.
And the cheese and steak thing, which that was isn't really a kosher law.
That was kind of my point. The Christians don't have to follow that
thing. Yeah. And technically, even a Jew, if they're born again, doesn't have to follow that if they don't want to. But it's pretty cool if they still want to, to demonstrate, hey, this is what it means. And now this is this in Christ, and use it as an example.
Well, you know a lot more of the people that, came from the Jewish faith that are Christians or even still Jews, whereas I don't. It's just not a, I don't know.
Maybe there's a few more up here in the city.
Yeah. Maybe a handful that I'm aware of.
Yeah, a couple, two, three more.
Yeah. But not many at all. Anyway, David, go ahead and take us out of today's show, and hopefully you guys will join us again tomorrow night at the same time at 8 p.m. Central. Go ahead.
Where are we going? I can't believe we're leaving already. So much more to talk about.
Right.
Well, again, we're at RapCon 1, so just got to be looking up. I'm not setting the dates, but, I'd rather look up and be wrong than not look up and be wrong.
Ready.
Yeah, but Jesus paid for your sins, so you don't have to pay for them. This way, that split second you pass into eternity, you can be in his presence for eternity, which is a much better place, as opposed to not being in his presence. Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. You have a blessed day.
One voice is daring enough to speak the unfiltered truth to a world seemingly unraveling by the hour. The Sutherland Report. Hosted by United Kingdom expert commentator, filmmaker, and conservative Christian host Mark Sutherland. The Sutherland Report brings clear, bold, fearless insight into government deception, cultural collapse, and the spiritual warfare hiding behind it all. From the UK to the political battlefields of the world, Mark connects the dots between prophecy and today's politics, where along with his guests, he exposes the hidden agendas so many don't want you to hear. Each powerful message presented without compromise. The Sutherland Report is the place where truth still has a voice. Catch it each and every day at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality? What the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.